Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. My name is Andrew Doerr. I'll be your host today. I want to thank you for joining us once again as we sneak into the last week here before Christmas. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. Before we jump in, I just want to do what we do every week and remind you that what you're about to hear today should not be construed as individual investment advice, but instead is just our take on what's going on in the market and the economy. And it may be something that might be useful for you in your individual portfolio. And if that's the case, I'd encourage you to give us a call so we can discuss it. But let's take a dive in. It was a big week last week. We had the Powell Fed decision on interest rates, which certainly moved markets. And it is the holidays too. And many of us here at Insight, we're parents to young kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. It makes this a wonderful time of year, despite what's happening in the markets. There's a palpable level of excitement and anticipation as we get close to the holidays. Everybody has really high expectations of what's going to happen. Right? The gifts we're going to get, the time we're going to be able to spend with family, you name it. But the once great philosopher Chevy Chase, big fan of his work from the 80s, gave us the Christmas classic, Christmas Vacation, to remind us that sometimes our expectations for the holidays can get a little above and beyond what might be reasonably expected. And I would argue that what happened last week in the market was our own little stock market version of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, in the movie, there are way too many plot lines to go through. All here on this podcast, there's the tree that's too big. It's not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room. There's Cousin Eddie's unexpected visit. There's Clark's failed attempts at the greatest Christmas light display ever. But there is one theme that runs through the movie that I think is a little applicable to the stock market. And that is Clark anxiously awaiting his Christmas bonus so that he can finally cover the deposit he put down on a brand new swimming pool, which is meant to be his family's present for the holiday. Now, you probably likely all have seen the movie and remember what happens. And instead of getting his bonus, he gets a year's subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club. Rage ensues. Cousin Eddie ends up kidnapping Clark's boss. The police raid their home. It's a nightmare. But it really shouldn't have been a surprise to Clark. If you look at his interactions with his boss through the show, his boss is pretty clear. He's a jerk. He doesn't really like anybody. He doesn't really care about anybody. And so there was really nothing that Clark should have seen that would have indicated that his boss was going to do something tremendously generous for the holidays. And that brings me to the market last week and to Chairman Powell's comments last week, because it was all precipitated by our version of Clark's boss, Chairman Powell, not giving out Christmas bonuses, i.e. dovish talk on interest rates. Instead, he gave us the Jelly of the Month Club. He gave us the hard love. And the temper tantrum that ensued was a near-perfect reflection of what happened in the movie with Clark. But should the market have really been surprised? Or like Clark, did Chairman Powell tell us exactly what he was going to do? Let's take a look and let's go through it. You will recall me saying in previous weeks that what was important about the Fed meeting this week was not what they did. We all knew what they were going to do. They were going to raise rates by 50 basis points. But instead, it's going to be what they said that mattered most in this meeting. And I think nothing could have been truer. In fact, when you look at the statement that the Fed puts out, their statement of action coming out of the meeting, there are only two phrases that changed from the previous month. In the sentence that they have about the inflationary impact of the Russian war, they changed the phrase from, quote, creating upward pressure on inflation to, quote, contributing to upward pressure on inflation. They changed one word there, and then they changed the target rate itself. That's it. Those were the only two words in the entire statement that changed from November to December. So instead, if the actions weren't important, what was important was the summary of economic projections. That was what really mattered. And what mattered the most from that document, as we highlighted before, was the discussion of a, quote, terminal rate, or more importantly, how high is the Fed going to take interest rates before we begin to see a drop? Now, before we dive into that, I do want to point one thing out, and I think I've said this before on this podcast, but the Fed's summary of economic projections is not a good economic projection. It never has been. The predictive value of the SEP is almost nil. I'll give you one good example of that. Last December, a year ago, when they came out with their summary of economic projections, they anticipated that interest rates were going to rise in 2022 to 0.75%. That's it. They've actually raised rates that much in four different meetings this year. So they were way, way off. And I don't think that we should look at this as some sort of Bible of what's going to happen, but instead, we should see it as a view into the Fed's playbook on the decisions they're going to make. But I do think that it has a little bit more relevance at this time of the cycle instead of where we were a year ago, because now we're nearing the top. There's not nearly as much debate about interest rates in the sense that, like, it's not a question of, are we going to go to 5% or are we going to go to 10%, right? That's not the discussion we're having. The discussion we're having is much narrower. It's much more around the margins. It's a much more fine-tuned conversation. So what did they say? They basically came in and said that the terminal rate for interest rates is 5.25%. Interestingly enough, that is the number that the market was predicting prior to the meeting. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. So that means we have 1 to 1.25% to go in the interest rate hike process. So what does that mean? It means probably another 50 basis point hike at their first meeting of the year, which is, I believe, February 2nd, and then probably 2 or 3 25 basis point hikes after that. That means we'll probably be done with the rate hiking process in May. We are getting much closer, and while this wasn't tremendously good news, it really wasn't anything different than what the market anticipated. Then Chairman Powell and the Fed dove into just the path forward for inflation itself. And Powell's been saying this since Jackson Hole in August. He said it again this week. The battle against inflation is a long one, and it's not going away just because we want it to. But there's long, and there's 1970s long. And I do fear his repeated comments back to Paul Volcker. I think he's conflating two very different issues, because what we're dealing with in inflation here today is certainly not that. And frankly, the Fed made that clear in the SEP, because what we saw is that they anticipate inflation to be down to 3.1% by the end of next year, 2.5% by the end of 2024, and 2.1% in 2025. Is that perfect? No, 2% would be perfect. We'd love that. But 3.1% next year is a huge improvement and something that is a lot better than what we've been experiencing for the last year. And then there's unemployment. Now, this is where we start to get into the muck. We all know this battle by now. Too many jobs being sought by too few people. It's hard to slow an economy down when employers are having to compete so aggressively for workers, because that drives wages up. Wage growth drives up other costs in the economy. That is inflation. Inevitably, part of slowing down the economy becomes increasing unemployment. It is a necessary evil. But how fast and how high will unemployment go? And can the Fed really control that? What we know from the SEP this week is that the Fed is now predicting that unemployment will hit 4.6% next year and roughly stay at that level through 2025. 4.6 is not a particularly bad number. In fact, 4.6, while seemingly very high compared to today's 3.7, is fully 1.14% below the long-term average for the United States. From 1948 to 2022, the United States has averaged 5.74% unemployment. So it's not the rate itself that's catastrophic. Actually, none of it's catastrophic, but it's not the rate that's a huge problem. Instead, it's the speed with which we get there that matters. Because one of the things we know is that we have never seen unemployment grow by a full 1%, which it's 3.7 now, it was 3.6 a couple months ago. We've never seen unemployment grow by a full 1% in 12 months without causing a recession. And so therein lies the rub with the whole speech. The market really, really, really wanted Chairman Powell to reassure them that a Christmas miracle was coming. Inflation goes away and no pain is felt, right? That'd be wonderful, but he couldn't promise that. Instead, we got the Jelly of the Month Club. But I think it's important to point out that in that very disappointment is where the opportunity lies, because the market has already been pricing in this pain for a long time. Why? Pretty simple. Chairman Powell keeps telling us what he's going to do. He's been very clear about this. Over and over and over again, he brings the market back into line. But it just so happens that every few weeks or every few months, the market begins to get a sense of optimism that this battle is almost over. And so we start to see this inflation in stock prices. Everybody gets happy And then Chairman Powell has to come in and crush everybody's hopes one more time and remind us that the battle isn't over. But even with all the pessimism from the last week, we are nowhere near testing the lows we saw in Q3. This market is not that bad right now. And patience, if we can have it, will win out in this battle. Now, before we close, I do want to just wish everybody a happy holiday. This is going to be the last podcast before the new year. We're going to take Christmas off next week to spend a little bit of time with our families. And so I want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday. I hope you're able to spend some time with those that are most important with you. And then a quick housekeeping item that our offices will be closed on December 26th and Monday, January 2nd, to allow our staff some time to spend some time with their families. The stock market is also closed on both of those days. We'll be back with a memo and a podcast on January 3rd. We're really looking forward to it. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to touching base with you soon. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, NFA. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.